Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our gospel lesson speaks about signs of the end of the age. And our Lord Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many. The gospel lesson, our text for the day. Fact is, God has given us his word in order to give us his plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is not the goal of the Bible to give us a comprehensive history of the world. Instead, the Bible focuses on the history of Jesus and his people. I mean, from the world's point of view, men like Caesar Augustus and Governor Quirinius and Herod the Great were important rulers. But on the other hand, the Bible only mentions those men when their story intersects with the story of salvation. I mean, Herod the Great's biblical claim to fame is his attempt to assassinate Jesus by killing off the boys of Bethlehem. I mean, Herod had already reigned for a long time when Jesus was born. And he even killed off members of his own family when he thought that they were plotting to take his throne. But murder and political intrigue, that's not all there was to Herod. Herod the Great was also responsible for many major building projects during his reign. I mean, it's likely that he hoped that those improvements in the infrastructure of the land would counteract the hatred that the Jews had for him. But one of the building projects that Herod started was a massive upgrade to the temple grounds in Jerusalem. And Herod began that upgrade about 20 years before Jesus was born. And the actual work on the upgrade continued after Herod died and wasn't completed until about 65 AD. You had 10,000 lay laborers that worked on the common areas of the temple. There were an additional 1,000 priests that did the upgrades to the sacred areas of the temple. I mean, think about it. It was a massive undertaking, and the result was quite impressive. And the dates of the building program, you know, if you think about it, that means that every time that Jesus and his disciples came to Jerusalem, there was new construction at the temple. And it would be very normal for visitors to Jerusalem to take some time to tour those new features of the temple area, to admire them, to speculate about what those thousands of workers were going to do next. And it wouldn't be at all unusual for anyone to look at the building materials around the temple site and the new buildings and fantasize about the greatness of it all. And if you think about it, that is the context of today's reading from the Gospel according to Mark. It says, as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. I mean, what a shock it must have been when Jesus replied, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And the fact is, Jesus' words came true just 5 years after the temple upgrade was complete. All of those workers labored for over 80 years to put all of Herod's upgrades in place. And in 65 AD, they put the finishing touches on the magnificent upgrade to the temple. I mean, one of the great architectural wonders of the ancient world. But just 5 years later, in 70 AD, after all of that work, the Roman army marched into Jerusalem and tore the temple down to the ground. Jesus' predictions came true. And of course, today's reading is an account of events that happened about 40 years before this destruction, and the disciples didn't know anything about it. I mean, Jesus' words to them must have been the equivalent of taking a 2x4 and hitting him over the head. I mean, but the disciples couldn't leave well enough alone. Jesus had made this statement. And so now, when they get back to their campsite on the Mount of Olives, they just had to ask Jesus for more details. So as Jesus sat down on the Mount of Olives and looked across the valley at the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they asked him privately. They said, "Tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And so Jesus began his explanation in an unusual place. Rather than come right out with a direct answer to the disciples' questions, he warned them about false teachings. And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." Here's Jesus. He's telling his disciples and us that pure doctrine is really important. Jesus is warning us that the devil will constantly be sending false teachers our way. And he's warning us that these false teachers will be very popular and they will lead many astray. I mean, we have plenty of false messiahs even today. Many of you have heard the phrase "drinking the Kool-Aid." Well, that phrase is the result of a cult leader named Jim Jones, who actually convinced his followers to mix cyanide poison into a batch of Kool-Aid, to serve it to their children, and then to drink it themselves. Jim Jones presented himself as a Messiah figure to his followers, and he led them to their deaths. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Christ already set up his millennial kingdom in 1914. The Mormons have a living prophet at the head of their church. L. Ron Hubbard has started the Church of Scientology. But the books of the Bible have stood the test of time. Every archaeological discovery in the Holy Land reveals that another part of the Bible is the truth. But nevertheless, many people will take the word of people over the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus is right to warn us about false prophets. And then you've got the persecutions. I mean, it's not enough for those false Christs to lead people away from the truth, but they also must persecute those who remain faithful. And Jesus warns that they'll even turn against their own relatives. What does he say? Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. At another time, Jesus even warned, "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God." Suffering, persecution, death. I mean, what possible reason could there be for us to resist such cruelty? Why shouldn't we simply just throw up our hands and surrender? Why not just go along with the world? I mean, think about the vows of confirmation that you made and that people, children still make today. When we ask people to remain faithful even unto death. I mean, what could be so important that we would be willing to risk even death rather than give in to the culture? Well, today's gospel, it began with those temporary stones of the temple. Those stones cannot save. But there is a stone that can save us. The psalmist said the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. But the temple authorities rejected this stone with extreme prejudice. They arrested him. They used political pressure to force Pilate to execute him on a cross. And as he hung on the cross, it looked like his end was near. As he died on the cross, it looked like his end had come. As his cold body lay in the tomb, it looked like his end had passed. His suffering and death, it was an end, but it was not his end. It was the end of our slavery to sin. It was the end of the condemnation and the guilt that our sin earned. It was the end of death's reign over the world. For on the Sunday after he was laid in the tomb, he rose from the dead. And he rose to live forever. And the stone that the builders rejected had indeed become the cornerstone. And that stone, of course, is Jesus Christ himself, the Rock of Ages. Those who believe in him believe in the only stone that lasts forever. And Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. You see, the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the only savior from sin is the one who endures to the end, the one who will be saved. And so Jesus encourages us to avoid false teaching. He encouraged us to endure persecution because those things, they only last for a short time. But his salvation endures forever. You know, all things on this earth will come to an end. Today's gospel talks about those beautiful buildings of the temple. Well, the fact is, on that temple site, it's been replaced by a Muslim mosque. But there's also going to come a time when that mosque will be gone. And eventually all the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars will all be gone. Only Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages, will remain to preserve us. Amen.